Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So there's nothing more shocking to me than seeing Rihanna Robin Fenty performing at a wedding in India.
Oh,
and it just got me thinking. Now, obviously, like, we've seen this before. Like, I know Beyonce did, I think she did a wedding in the Middle East before or something. And there was plenty. I know that this happens. I do know that this happens, but it still rocks me because I'm like, how much are you getting paid? Because, like, if I'm Rihanna, right? And I'm not really on my tour. I've just had my family, right? And that's like my number one priority. I'm telling the press, my family right now, my number one priority. You can fuck off with your music. You'll be waiting a while.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing bitch better have my money. And
at,
like,
somebody's wedding.
At someone's wedding. And I'm like, how much would that cost? You know, like, what was the number that made you go, yeah? Because no matter what, if I'm that rich, lads, I'm a lazy bollocks. So I'm not getting on a private jet, even though it's private. I'm not getting on a jet floating over to India and performing at someone's wedding. You know, it's just not something that I'm doing. No one's asking me to, but it's not something that I'm doing. So what's the number? What's the figure? When you're already a billionaire, what is the figure that gets you out of bed to go and perform at someone's wedding?
Do you know what? They're all fucking sellouts. I remember last year on Eid, there was a family from the Middle East that rented out the whole plex in Finglas. So I was like, big money. Big money. Big hooker money. He was allowed to park his Beamer outside the jar as well. Look.
That's wealth.
In my next life, that'll be me. And you're very welcome along to the Unpopular Opinion podcast. My name is Jen.
And I am Carla.
I kind of hate that intro now.
Why?
Because I edit these. Remember, I tried to change the Patreon one last week and I made a show of myself. Stop. And then, because we're doing this online, I'm like editing these things and putting them together on a track. Like, when we're in person, I don't fucking listen to this shit. Like, I just bounce it off and that's it. But now I have to like revisit it after we finish talking, and then I hear the intro and I'm just like,
but that's why I don't listen to our podcast.
Yeah,
because I would never podcast again if I had to listen to myself. It would just I find it mad. Like, there's so many podcasts that I've guested on and they're like, well, I can't wait to listen to this back, and I'm like, you listen to that whole thing, you listen to that back. Oh my god, I could never.
Like,
it's in the ether. The minute I say it, it's gone. You know, it's like,
oh, stop. Yeah, I know. And I, like, nowadays it's great because, like, we're in our fifth year. At the beginning, I used to remember we'd record like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday and it wouldn't be coming out till Sunday. Yeah. I'd be worried about what I said for those like couple of days. And now it's like,
you
were don't
your
give
weekend.
A fuck. You record weekend. It on Saturday, bang it out on Sunday. Don't talk to me.
I'm like, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Bitch, it's out there. It's too late to change it. Well, sometimes I change stuff. If I go really far, I change stuff.
Yeah.
This episode was supposed to be about the trend that is the mad jokes on TikTok that they're not traditional wives. They're ladies of leisure pretending to be traditional wives, realistically. It's a very specific thing that they're doing. Like, look, these comes coming out and making mother dough.
Yeah. Like we probably it's like, I woke up and I went and I caught my vanilla pods, and then I very, very slowly went back to the kitchen, Once I hit the kitchen, I very, very, very gently picked up my vanilla press when I started to make little s'mores for my little 18 darlings. I love them so much. That is like
your one making mozzarella from scratch. I'm like, what? Just go to Dunn's.
I was looking at it and I was like, is that more effective? Do you know what I mean? Like, is that? And look, again, unfortunately, we don't have as much time as we thought we were going to have to discuss this. But when I originally put it up, I think people thought that I was asking their opinions on the role of a trad wife. That was not it. And a lot of the times when I am posting these things, I'm posting information too. So I'm like, if you don't know about this, here are your guides. And I think there was a little bit of a jump scare where people didn't actually look up the trend the reason why me and Jen, it's the same thing with the like Sephora 10-year-olds. These things have been going on for a while, but when they take off and boom, it's a topical thing. This is called the unpopular opinion. We talk about topical things. It's kind of our podcast. So when at the moment there's a lot of backlash to this content, just like there was a lot of backlash to the Gen Alpha and Sephora 10-year-old content. So that is what we are talking about here. I am not talking about the role of a traditional wife or a stay-at-home mother. Yeah, I'm not talking about that. Never was.
Gave up work when I was born.
Yeah, never was. Not a thing. And also not something to debate, I think.
Oh no, it's like it's more so about the videos, like the fucking like the crimes that they commit in them, like this making cereal from scratch. And I tried to ballerina farm.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking electric chair trying to fry an egg. The hack of the thing.
I know.
Do you know,
I
like
know.
It's more of a discussion around that. But really, I think it's come out now that they actually pay nannies and stuff like that.
And I think that's what we're going to be talking about. But we will be talking about this on our Patreon, because this episode instead
it turned out a lot longer than what we thought.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So obviously the referendum is coming up on March 8th, and this release date of this podcast is probably the last chance. Is that on Friday?
March 3rd, yes. This podcast is coming out. The vote will happen, so that's a Sunday, and the vote will happen on the Friday.
Yeah, so this is the last kind of episode that will come out beforehand, and I personally have found it to be very confusing. The jargon, that the wording that they kind of release, that they use, I never understand it. It's like this every single time, and like I don't understand why they can't just, like Claire explains it. We got OG YouTuber, Claire Cullen. She has done a lot of research on this. She put out a TikTok during the week just saying that she kind of doesn't fit into any demographic of any of these, like, definitions of family, and she just said she felt like every time there was a referendum she seemed to fit into it some way, and like you know, she'd done her research and stuff like that, and she wasn't too happy about the misinformation as well. We also put up a poll, and let me just get the stats of it, because I was very surprised at the results of the poll, because
I think everybody was a little bit surprised at the results of the poll.
Yeah, because somebody, I saw the DM coming in going, I just voted in the poll. Is my fucking thing broke?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, last night when I did look at this, it was like most people were unsure because they just didn't have enough information on it. Depends on your algorithm. You could be getting told to vote no because of like all of these things that are never going to happen, or you could be getting told to vote yes because it is progressive. And even though it doesn't go far enough, it's progression, and it's ensuring better things for the future and stuff like that. And then other people are obviously on both fucking algorithms and don't know what way to vote. So you basically said, what way are you going to be voting in the referendum? Like, not trying to sway anybody. We're not even saying what we're going to be voting. We just kind of wanted to gauge what our listeners are kind of thinking in it. So 20% are saying that they're going to vote yes. 37% are saying that they're going to vote no. And then 43%, which is the highest one, are saying they're completely unsure. So I just think that speaking about it with, like, I suppose the people that listen to us will be considered peers, and just like a bit more of a simple explanation will do a lot to kind of help people in deciding what they're going to vote. And make sure that you do use your vote as well, because if it doesn't, get used. It defaults then, do you know what I mean? So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to insert the clip that we did, well, the chat that we had with Claire. We're just going to kind of slot it in and then we'll come back to you after we slot it in. So next thing you're going to hear is me, Carla and Claire Cullen.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So now we're absolutely delighted to be joined by Claire Cullen, aka Clisser. You may know her as a content creator. On YouTube, you've been around since, like, I used to watch you and Jenna Marbles in tandem. Like, you have been around a while.
I've been around a while. I do get some people saying to me, I used to watch you when I was a kid, and I'm like, cool, that makes me feel 10,000 years old.
Well, you know what, it's a compliment because you have stood, like, you know, you've been around.
I'm still going. I've refused to give up.
But I feel like I've been around here, so I feel like a bit of a dinosaur. So I'm just like, because I remember when I used to want to do stuff online, and I'd watch you and I'd watch Jenna Marbles, and I'd be like, oh, they're so fucking cool. Like, you know what I mean? I was just like, oh, it's gas to, like, be able to, you know, kind of work with you now and do stuff with. So delighted to have you. But the reason I got in touch with you as well, because we're talking about this referendum, and you've done a lot of research on it. You have, you know, you have your points on it. You feel like you've never really fit into any of the definitions that are in the Constitution regarding families. And there's a lot of, I feel like my algorithm is, it's a lot of misinformation, and so many people are confused about what way to vote. We even did a poll, and we'll give the figures. It's only been up about 12 hours, but we might give the figures before we let you go. But from the last time I saw it, loads of people just don't know what to do.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny that you reached out to me, because I've actually been planning on making more videos about this over the next week, because obviously it's coming up. I feel like I haven't been particularly vocal on it yet, or at least not to my level of vocalness. You know what I mean? Like, I've been sharing stuff kind of on Instagram, and I've made one or two TikToks kind of thing. But I just thought it was really interesting, because you were like, you had noticed that I was sharing kind of stuff already. So I guess it just comes naturally to me to be like, here's my thoughts on something.
Well, absolutely, share away, because, like, the more information, and hopefully people will learn something from it, because I feel like, so especially in referendums and stuff, like, I remember the last referendum, like, TV presenters, like, people with platforms in mainstream media aren't allowed to tell you what they're voting.
Yeah.
They have to stay completely, which is mad, because the government are like, vote yes, but the TV stations can't tell you what way to vote. It's mad. Like,
do you think the government are advocating for a yes vote?
Oh, well, I mean, our own Taoiseach is, after he released a video this week, and he's like, please vote yes. Okay. This is
well,
why.
Well, I obviously think that's amazing. Oh, yeah. I can understand why others don't.
Yeah.
I actually hadn't seen that. Did, but then, So if you don't mind, if it's okay, could we take the two things separately? Because there's two things we've been asked to vote on. And would it be okay if I read out the actual, because so a polling card came in the door that actually says the wording. And I find a lot of the kind of comments I'm getting online are saying that it either says something it doesn't or now, or it will do, or it's been deleted when actually it's been replaced. So I think actually there's just a lot of misunderstanding on what it actually is. Cool. And I know that it's probably a little boring, but I'll go through really quickly and I'll just read it out.
No, it's amazing because we need to. I just said to Carla before you came on there, I was like, I need this yassified if that would be okay.
Yeah, that I love that taxes. Girl on TikTok who does that. I wish she could explain it to me. But yeah, so the first one then, I don't know which order they come in, so I'm just going to read the one that's in front of me here in relation to the woman. And so we're being asked to delete a section from Article 41 of the Constitution and to insert a replacement for it. Mm-hmm. To delete the following section of Article 41, which reads, in particular, the state recognises that by her life within the home, woman gives to the state a support without which the common good cannot be achieved. The state shall therefore endeavour to ensure that mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labour to the neglect of their duties in the home. So that's what it currently says. And then so the proposal is to delete that and instead insert, it would be in Article 42A, so just after it, an article in relation to care. So it would be called Article 42B, and it would say the state recognises that the provision of care by members of a family to one another by reason of the bonds that exist among them gives to society a support without which the common good cannot be achieved and shall strive to support such provision. So that's mm-hmm. the change. So I feel like the change probably isn't as maybe dramatic as maybe people think it is. It does change it from the state recognises that the provision of care by members of a family to one another from the state recognises that the woman gives to the state a support. So mm-hmm. it does change. It widens it out, in my opinion anyway, to members of a family caring for one another. And that allows for... In my understanding, that allows for then, if you want a stay-at-home parent, that both have equal right to do it. Mm-hmm. There's also other things about the family that we'll talk about in the second one. But that's just the first one. That's the woman one. Now, I know that one of the criticisms is, well, we don't want to delete references to women in the Constitution, which I do understand. Now, there are several other references to women in the Constitution, so this is not the only time a woman is referenced, but FYI there is a lot more references to men, but I'll take it as I'll give it the benefit of the doubt and say it's man, as in, you know, like mankind, like a general man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Humans.
There's also references to Jesus, which I found out in my research, which I did not know, and that surprised me, but anyway. Yeah, probably shouldn't have. But yeah, so that's probably the main criticism, is that removing that. So for me, I'm currently pregnant. I'm looking to make a family. And I guess it's not that I don't want to be like the stay-at-home parent, but I would like to feel that we both had the option and we're both equally protected. I'd be totally lying to you if I said I fully understand how the Constitution affects me in my day-to-day life, really, because there are ways in which there are provisions that the state has provided that seem to, like, so for example, I grew up in a single parent household, and this is why you were mentioning that I felt, because I made a video where I said, I catch strays in all these referendums, because I remember in the gay marriage referendum, people were like, well, you should vote no because kids deserve like a mother and a father. That was one of the arguments, and I was like, oh, catching another stray.
Yeah, because you didn't have a mother and
father. Well, I had them very separately, yeah, but I didn't have them in the one home, you know what I mean? And so stuff like that. So what you call it, like, my mother was eligible for the single parent allowance, and so we did get that, and you know, we did get child benefit and stuff like that. So I mean, I'm not going to say that I fully understand how the Constitution affects my day-to-day life in this regard, but it would be nice that if it didn't say a woman's duties are in the home. I think I would like that.
Yeah. I think that's look, from what I've seen so far out there, like 17% of families in Ireland are one parent families.
Wow,
so
that's higher than
incredibly high. Yeah over 220,000 one parent families in Ireland. So I think that's where there's a lot of misconception. Now, I know that from this, and again, this is just us having a chat. This isn't Leo Michal and Mary.
None of us are constitutional lawyers, okay? Yeah. Let's get that out there.
Yeah. But I think the big knee jerk that I originally saw to this was benefits. and one parent benefits. And again, I think, and I don't blame people for seeing it in a way that, is this another way that they're going to try and take back kind of, I suppose, supporting a, what would you call it? A normal is absolutely not the word, but I suppose an atypical family.
Yes.
Mum, dad, word. kid.
Great, you know? Word.
Yeah. So I suppose that was kind of, I think, the big knee-jerk reaction. And to be honest, that was my knee-jerk reaction as well. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, is this another way that you're going to screw women over?
Yep. And I did look this up. But I'll just give you where I got this from. So I got this from one of the journal fact check articles, which they reference their research in it, just so everybody knows where I'm getting this from. But there's apparently been no mentions of welfare by the government in relation to this referendum. There is also no current rule that specifies the child benefit has to be paid to mothers currently. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, I can't foresee a change there, because as I said, it's not specified that it has to be paid to mothers. It can be paid. Apparently the Department of Social Welfare says it can be paid to the biological father or a stepfather if the child lives with them.
Okay.
So I don't know if that answers that question or not, or it helps in any way. I guess I personally don't understand how this constitutional change would impact welfare payments, just based on the wording that I'm reading, other than it would be my understanding that maybe it would be widened out. But as I said, there are already allowances being made. Like my brother, for example, was the carer for my dad when my dad had cancer, and he got the carer's allowance. So there's allowances already being made. So it's not that people can't get those allowances already. That it's tough. It's a tough. It's kind of tough. Again, we're not constitutional lawyers, so
yeah. I suppose what people are kind of like a little bit worried about is, as you say, there are people who are getting the likes of carer's allowance for, like, with those relationships, your brother, and you know, and he's already getting it. So it's not specifically women. Like, the constitution seems to be talking about the woman's place in a home. And like the greater, what is it, the common good can't be achieved without which
common good cannot be achieved, yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. So then I'm like, and I'm kind of wondering this as well. It's like, well, then why change it?
Yeah.
Because this is what a lot of the no voters are kind of going, why, what are you, well, the conspiracy theorists are saying, what are you distracting us from? The no voters are saying, why the hell is this all of a sudden coming up? I suppose for somebody like me who's, it can't be read, it's the jargon as well. Like, why can't they modernize the language? It's very confusing. It has been, we saw it with the Lisbon Treaty. Like, it's like if they're talking about something being like in place since 1937 and it's very old fashioned, like, modernize the language as well, because a lot of people just don't understand. And then that's where the misinformation comes from. And I mean, I'm hearing no voters, and it's more so the far right going, vote no, because the foreigners, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think the thing is, it doesn't concern me when I see like the far right saying stuff like that, because they're always going to be on that edge of the debate. What concerns me is when I see people who normally I'm quite politically aligned with, and you know, who are very reasonable people, and they are saying, oh, let's vote no because X. And I think that's much more worrisome to me. It's like, we definitely need to make sure that everybody understands it, as you said. I do think this is an effort to modernize that language. So it's trying to get rid of saying, essentially, a woman, her duties in the home, etc. Yeah. So it is an attempt to modernize that language. But I take your point that it's still legalese. It's still, and that is probably because with a document like this, and with a lot of legal documents, they do have to kind of make this really, like, really verbose statement so that it can cover as many as possible, or so that, you know, it can't be misconstrued or misinterpreted legally. And so I totally take your point on that it's a very confusing wording, and like, but I guess the problem is, if they were to go more specific and be like, the state recognizes that carers, actually maybe that would be good just to say recognizes carers, I don't know, but it definitely is still legalese, but I do think it's an effort to modernize the existing, as you said, 1937 or whatever year it was created language. Yeah. But the reason that it's happening now, just to address that, is that there was a constitutional convention together, and they, what they, their job was to look through the constitution and see where we could modernize it and update it and make sure that it's in keeping with Ireland as we grow and change and evolve. And so this is just two, and they've put them together obviously because they think that they're semi-related, just two recommendations that that committee put forward. So there potentially will be more constitutions coming up, constitutional votes, based on the recommendations that came out of those that committee. But these are just two that they've put together. They think they're related, obviously, and then they've put them on, I presume intentionally, on International Women's Day. And then so that those recommendations went through the Oireachtas Committee on Justice and Equality before they moved on. And then they were discussed at two citizen assemblies on gender equality. So they have been through a number of committees who have discussed them and kind of tried to hash out the problems with them and find the right wording. So I totally agree with you that looking at it, you're like, it could definitely be written simpler. But that's why it's happening now anyway. And I think a lot of some of the misunderstanding or some of the like stuff has come out of some of those discussions, because it was also discussed in the Dáil. Like the this is probably moving on to the second one, which I don't know if you're ready to do.
I wanted to say just a quick one before. Do you think it's intentional that they put it on International Women's Day?
Sure. It makes sense to me that you would, if your intent is to like modernize the constitution and empower women and remove that it says they should be in the house, it makes sense to me that it would be purposely on International Women's Day. Seems like too much of a coincidence otherwise.
And it probably could be. I just think it's such an interesting
I think it's like a girl power, like I assumed that was the intent. It was like a girl power, like International Women's Day, we're all gonna vote and we're all gonna come out of the house, and you know what I mean, like, so
that was probably a very short-sighted
thought process behind it.
See, I think what the argument was with that one, and I can see where you're coming from, Carla, is because some people would think the opposite, was that they're taking another thing away from women, like another specific right away from women. And that's where, that was the algorithm I was on when this first got announced.
That's the algorithm I'm on too, even though I'm like, I am where I am on the issue. I'm still
I know. That's what I was kind of like, this is where my head was fried at the beginning. I was like, oh no, this is good that it's been, you know, that it's been removed and the woman's place is not in a home. And then I heard that argument and I was like, oh, that's actually also true. Why not just add in, rather than delete?
Yeah.
Why not add in? Do you know, like,
yeah,
it's the warden is kind
of. Yeah, and I do think they have made an attempt to do that. But I think that you're right. I mean, why is there, well, we could ask the question, why is it not just being changed to say parents rather than mothers and women, parents, right? Then, again, that's kind of probably moving on to the second one, which is trying to expand out the definition of family. And we'll discuss that in a second. But there is, I potentially see a reason for why it's not just parents and why it's trying to be even broader than just parents. And then
I think so too.
I suppose
one affects the
other. And I suppose before we move on as well, I just want to touch on the argument that strive to support is not a strong enough wording. So the current wording says it will, the state shall endeavor to ensure that mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity, etc. And the new wording says the state shall strive to support. So for me, there's not a huge amount of difference between the current wording and the new wording. I mean, if you put me into a corner, I would say strive to support is slightly stronger than endeavor to support. Like, endeavor to me feels like, oh yeah, we'll do our best.
We might do it.
Strive it.
We might do it. We'll see.
Do a bit of work, I guess. But that's nitpicking. Do you know what I mean? Realistically, for me, it's the same wording as it currently says it. And so if people have an argument like that the state are not currently fulfilling it, I think it would be good at least to update it. And at least it's fresh in everyone's heads. And the state will hopefully feel more pressure. And I know that the National Women's Council have said that what they plan to do after, if there's a yes vote that goes through, is then campaign for the state to actually provide steps and how they're going to strive to support such provisions. I'm doing the inverted commas for people who can't see. But yeah, so because I've seen that argument of, oh, the wording's not strong enough, so I'm going to vote no. But realistically, it's not a huge amount. It's not weaker than the current wording. It's arguably the same. And I've also seen that argument of, like, I've seen people say the wording's not progressive enough. And so I've seen the argument online. Yes, I think the current wording is sexist with mothers and their duties in the home.
Yeah.
But I think that the new wording's not progressive enough. So I'm actually going to vote no. And I feel like that personally, I don't think that's a good idea. I think if I was to contextualize it by saying, like, imagine in the gay marriage referendum, for example, if I went to my platform, and this is because I've seen people with much bigger platforms than me say this stuff. So imagine if I went to my platform and I had been like, no, I totally believe in gay marriage. I'm 100% for it. I just don't like the wording of this, actually. So I'm going to vote no, and I'm going to kick it back to the government, and we're going to stick with what we have for now. And we'll see. Maybe the government will ask us again.
And yeah. I think this is the issue. Yeah, because a lot of the times when it comes to these referendums, I understand why everybody is so sus of the government. Like, particularly this year with everything that has come out with where Ireland is now positioned as far as, like, expense, as far as support, like, our, like, all of our crises are only getting worse. You know, like, so I understand that there is an unbelievable amount of mistrust and confusion, particularly with political parties and how we're going to move forward as a country and all that other kind of stuff. So I think everyone's backs are up immediately about any kind of vote, mm-hmm. because they're like, they are trying to find a way, like we have seen with the tolls, like we have seen with the recycle, like even the recycling, my Diet Coke, but like even those kind of things are making people incredibly aggressive, because it's one thing after another after another. So then when it does come to something like this, everyone's like, I can understand why the tinfoil hats are on. I absolutely get that, because how could it not be when we have just, we're in a pressure cooker and it's every day and every time they have an announcement, it never really seems to be a good thing, does it?
Like, yeah. And like, so, even just to play devil's advocate, not even tinfoil hats, like genuinely, I can understand why people are reticent to A, think this is important, B, want to care about it, or C, yeah, that they believe that the government has our best interests in heart. I do understand all of those viewpoints. I do, like, in my own head, I'm like, geez, I'm glad we're not America, though. Like, no offense to any Americans listening. I like that Ireland is like, okay, like, we have a certain amount of supports, but, like, it's not good enough. And we, you know, and I like that. And whereas, like, there are other countries who have next to nothing. Now, that's not to say we're great or anything, but I do think we're not where we need to be. But I do appreciate, I guess, at least what we have for now. But yeah. I totally see what you're saying, that. Yeah. And I think...
But I think it's really... Yeah, I think it's hard for people to... Again, let's not lie. America right now is a dumpster fire. And I feel like my family's American. So I feel bad for them, because it's like, when it comes to upcoming elections... Yeah. It's like, do I vote for this evil or that evil? Like, wow, lucky me. I have two choices and nothing else. So
nothing. Look, I will say, nothing makes me appreciate our country more than when I see a woman talking about her maternity leave on TikTok.
Oh my God. And how much it costs to have a baby. Yeah. Sorry, we'll get distracted here, but $1 million
is crazy. The bill. Oh my God. Yeah. If you have triplets, you're fucked, Claire.
Yeah, basically. It's like, oh, there you go. But look, that's kind of not what we're talking about here. So I don't think it's kind of... I understand why everyone's backs are up right now. And I think, you know, we're not, as much as I'd love to be talking about all of these other kind of countries, they're not relevant to
this discussion and
what we're talking about. But what I will say is that I get why there was like an initial knee-jerk reaction to be like, if it's not broken, fix
it.
But then, as you have already explained, there was what's called a constitutional...
Constitutional convention. I had to look it up myself. I was like, what's that thing called?
Yeah. And like, these people, I think you kind of have to like you do have to trust people who know what they're talking about. So it's kind of like there is a bit like you do have to put faith into the experts. Unfortunately, you do put faith into your GP and your doctor.
It's my understanding, and I stand to be corrected on this, but it's my understanding that the Constitutional Convention is also made up of what's called like regular people. So it's made up of like regular Irish people. So not politicians, not political parties. So the idea is that they're supposed to be neutral and just coming at it from a regular Irish Joe perspective. And again, that's my understanding. Mm-hmm. Fully feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on that. But so I guess the idea is that if it's regular people recommending this, that everyone will be on board. And yeah, what you've said is basically what's happened. And just before we move on from this, I just want to add as well that on that argument, I've also heard like people say, well, sure, they'll ask us again, because in Ireland, they always just ask us again. And I think that that is, there's two examples where that has happened. Obviously, you mentioned one of them, I think, Jen, Lisbon.
Lisbon.
And the other one was the Nice Treaty. And again, this is my understanding. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But that's because we had to make those constitutional changes in order to continue to be members of the European Union.
Yeah.
And it was, so it's in the government's interest in that case for us to vote yes. Like, because the cost to leave the European Union would have been astronomical. And they so they took on a second referendum and a re-education campaign, or whatever you want to call it, in order to ask us again at great cost to the state, because referendums cost a lot of money to run. I don't believe that they would look at this and think it's important enough. If Ireland says no to it, I don't think they'd be like, oh, we'll just ask them again, like at our own personal cost, we'll run another referendum, maybe we'll do a better education campaign, maybe we'll change it a little bit. I just think they'll go, oh, Ireland doesn't want it, next set of recommendations from the convention, let's move on.
And I think that's what, I suppose that's what worries me a little bit, because I'm like, if they're in a convention and they're picking this out, there's a reason why they want it to be addressed. It's something that has come up consistently. The wording shite, let's not lie, like it is. And that's where the confusion's coming from, because people are, we are in, and like if this was 1995, we wouldn't have as much resource. We would have to sit down in front of the TV. We'd have to listen to
read
the debate.
Paper,
we'd have to do X, Y, and Z. You would have to, you would have to. And also we'd have to go along with what the media is telling us, you know, and that's now we're not in that position. Now we're able to kind of find, you know, a lot of online creators, a lot of different opinions, and it's kind of, it causes even more confusion, but I'd prefer that choice.
Yeah, it's positive and a negative.
I'd rather people have that choice and be able to kind of, again, this is the reason why me and Jen are doing this podcast, is because we were asked to. Like, we're not, again, it wasn't like, oh, top thing, I absolutely must do this week. But it's important to our listeners. It's not a
hugely enjoyable topic to like to gossip with people over a cup of tea, because it's very, well, at least for me, it sort of feels quite personal. And then when I, you know, it's not fun to just, I didn't find a lot of the referendums, I don't find fun to just like gossip and banter about over a cuppa. Do you know what I mean? Like the abortion referendum, the gay marriage referendum, they're all very sensitive topics. And so it's not like, it's not as much fun to talk about as the other things we could be talking about. All right.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's kind of like, I just want to say that before we move on to the next one. This one is I would say less divisive, shall we say, than part two. Yeah, okay. I think so.
Well, hopefully.
Part two is where, part two, I keep calling it.
I disagree. I think people don't give enough of a shit about it because they don't understand it. They're just like, meh. But before, like you say, before we do move on to the next one, just in terms of this vote in particular, you say that the language is quite the same. It just broadens the care.
That's my read of it,
kind of thing. So it's in practical terms, nothing is really going to change. It's just going to include more people than just the woman or the mother. It's just less sexist language.
That's my understanding of it, yes. And like, the bottom line, maybe that won't affect us actually day to day in our lives, because we all work. Like, so it's not like we're forced to stay in the home as it is. And I know men that are stay-at-home parents, so it's not like they're not allowed to do it. And so maybe it won't actually change our lives day to day, but that's my understanding, is that it's just widening it out to be not just mothers, but
and then I do think an important thing to say is as well, when that video came out from Leo Varadkar trying to explain what the crack was, and of course the comments were like, you're a liar, you're an absolute liar. He was like, why though, why, like, nobody's explaining this. But he did say in it, this the change, if it is voted through, it does ensure that future governments have to honour supports for carers in the home and stuff
which
like that.
Which is great, so, yeah, which should be great. And as I said, the National Women's Council is planning on actively getting like an action plan for stuff like that. So that would be good. I can only see how that's positive, really.
Right. And just one more thing before we move on. There is over 33,000, over 33,000 single father families in Ireland.
That's those are great stats.
You would not. And how do you never hear
that? How do you never hear that? You always, God.
Yeah. Jeez. I know. And it's funny because I know too. Do you know? So I'm like, it's not like, and I never.
I don't know any. That's the thing. Like,
Fair
play to them. Okay.
I mean, I'm an adult, but I grew up with my, you know, I was an adult when my parents separated, but I stayed with my dad. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of
That's true, actually. Jesus, I do know one.
And
if I was younger, I would have stayed with my dad.
You just reminded me, my brother lived with my dad. I went to live with my mom. My brother actually stayed with my dad as a teenager. So that's funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I suppose you just don't think of it, don't you? Like, it's funny.
That's it. I mean, really, and I know that's a very constitution. How often do you think about the constitution? Never.
Yeah, I'm not sitting down every day. And sorry, I will just say as well to preface that is like my family is like I would bracket them as an atypical family that went through divorce. Not exactly like it's just a little bit more odd that myself and my sister stayed with my father. That's probably the only thing. I'm not saying that he was not a single dad. Raising two girls.
I remember when you first started online, everyone was like, what happened to her?
Everyone was obsessed.
No way.
Yeah. Obsessed. I was like, nothing. She's still rocking around.
Even to this day, sorry, and I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but even to this day, people still say, like, if they see a mother out and about, oh, where are the kids? They're with their father. Like, who's minding them? What do you mean minding them? He's parenting them.
I know. I'm like, he's babysitting. Being a father.
Okay, so we move on to the second one. Or, well, in the order we're doing them anyway. Again, I don't know which one is worse. So then we are being asked to agree with the proposal to amend one subsection and then delete and substitute a different subsection. So my understanding is when you amend one, you change a little bit of it. And then when you delete and substitute, it's because it's like you're deleting and putting a new one in its place. Now, looking at this, I would say they're both more changes than whatever, but we'll go through it just so we all know what we're talking about. So amend subsection 1 of article 41.1 of the constitution by the insertion of whether founded on marriage, I'm doing the inverted commas for this bit, whether founded on marriage or on other durable relationships after the phrase the family, so that the subsection would then read, the state recognises the family, whether founded on marriage or on other durable relationships, as the natural primary and fundamental unit group of society and as a moral institution possessing inalienable and imprescriptible rights and tessident and superior to all positive law. So again, massive legalese, and that was tough. But so basically, it currently says the state recognises the family founded on marriage, etc. And so now they're putting in whether founded on marriage or on other durable relationships. So we're still recognizing the family as a natural, primary and fundamental unit group of society, and they have rights above all else. So then the second part is that we're being asked, do we want to delete the following subsection, which reads, the state pledges itself to guard with special care the institution of marriage on which the family is founded and to protect it against attack, and to replace it with, the state pledges itself to guard with special care the institution of marriage and to protect it against attack. So first and foremost, I've seen the argument online that, I think the wording I heard online was, we're replacing marriage with vibes. I just say we're definitely not doing that. So the second part is basically saying the same. It's saying the state pledges itself to guard with special care the institution of marriage and to protect it against attack. You're just removing the words that say on which the family is founded. So it means that your family, by proxy, that means your family is no longer automatically founded on marriage. And so I believe that these two are being asked together because they're related. a lot of times in legal documents, you can't make a change in one place without reflecting it in another place. So this is why these two are linked together. They're like an A and B. And so to just go back to the big wording one, the state recognizes the family, whether founded on marriage or other durable relationships, as a natural, primary and fundamental unit group of society and as a moral institution possessing inalienable and imprescriptible rights, antecedent and superior to all positive law. So first of all, the durable relationships thing has been very controversial. First of all, it seems that a lot of the issues around the durable relationship actually came out of a Dáil debate between Roderick O'Gorman and Michael McNamara, where Michael McNamara asked if things like throuples and polygamous marriages would be counted under durable relationships. Now, Roderick O'Gorman said that that's not possible because polygamy is illegal in Ireland and no durable relationship can include something that is illegal. National Women's Council is where I got this information. I looked up the definition of durable relationship. So a durable relationship can cover things like the obvious things like cohabiting couples, you know, common law, married, unmarried parents, people who have a child together, single parent families, and kinship carers, which I didn't know about. And so kinship carers are where a family member steps in to take care of a child if the parents are not available, and which is just something I didn't even think of because that's not my personal experience. Where a grandparent takes the custody of a child because the parents can't, or even an older brother or sister. And what's really interesting to me about that is that currently a kinship carer does not have access to things like social welfare payments or guardianship rights in medical situations. It's crazy, isn't it? Like if a grandparent is minding someone, they can't make a really important decision in a medical situation because they're not technically like their family in the constitutional sense. And this is kind of reflective of where things like, I remember the abortion referendum, there's ways in which maybe the constitution doesn't affect you day to day normally, but then there's like a medical thing or like a life threatening thing where suddenly it does, and this kind of strikes me as one of those. So that was really eye-opening to me in terms of kinship. I was like, oh my god, like that's crazy to me that they wouldn't have those supports or those rights. I suppose, do you have any questions on that? I guess, because that's really all I kind of wanted to highlight on the durable relationships thing.
I keep seeing the argument that it's too broad, and like you say, the throuple thing is going to be,
the minute you say throuple, I feel like, and this is what's so annoying about stuff like that. It's like when you say something like throuple, it's like you're setting a bomb off in a conservative's kitchen. Do you know that kind of way? They hear throuple and they're like, holy fuck.
They just latch onto it and then the rest of the conversation's gone. Yeah.
And unfortunately, I've heard more about throuples throughout the referendum than I have heard about than I have heard about disability and disability rights and how this wording is going to affect disabled adults in particular, but also disabled children. And I think that's like the throuple thing riles me so much because I'm like, of course you had to put it down to something like, I mean, you wouldn't call it sexual preference, but you would call it like sexual lifestyle preference. Like what way would you, like, it's absolutely like, how are we back here again? It's like you just knew there was a way of riling old Catholic Ireland and getting them up in arms about throuples. I know a lot of common law partnerships, I'm in one. I know a lot of unmarried parents, Jen's one, like I know a lot of that, but I don't know many throuples. And even if there is plenty of throuples out there, good on ya, I couldn't give a fuck.
I know, that's the kind of argument I often want to say. I'm like, why does anybody care? But then you have to take it seriously and you have to be like, well, actually, no, it won't be allowed, like, relax. Because if you just say don't care, they go, oh, the liberals.
But I know that was something that was very, that was quite big at the time of the same-sex marriage referendum, because there was a lot of conversation around what happens with kids, what happens with the child, what happens if, you know, as always we're obsessed with, you know, what's going to happen
with bedrooms. It's bananas,
obsessed with it. It's like, oh, we can't move forward until I absolutely know that this kid that I've never cared about before.
Yeah. These hypothetical children, who will think of them?
What if they get bullied? Like, there's so much going on there. Yeah. But I know that there's, oh, it drives me insane. But I almost want to, like, I didn't even want to mention the horrible thing.
I know, and I but we have to, because, like, I feel like...
No, I know we have to. I know we have to.
Couple's a great word as well, by the way, because I feel like polygamous, people worrying about polygamy wasn't really taken off. And then someone said throuple, and it just gained mental.
Yeah, because it's in pop culture. It was actually quite irresponsible of that TD to even throw that word in there. Like, you simply went and looked at the definition of a durable relationship, and they got your answer. Like, why is a TD not doing that?
You would wonder, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like they say things just to get the sound bites and to just be seen to, like, challenge each other and stuff. But, like, the argument that polygamous marriages would be allowed. I mean, technically, polygamous marriage is a marriage. So, like, by that logic, the current wording would allow it if it wasn't already specifically stated that illegal marriages don't count as marriages, if that makes sense.
Don't count. So
if somebody was to come to Ireland, and I do think there could be a discussion to be had around xenophobia in this debate as well, because polygamy is not something that happens in Ireland. So it's a direct sort of, or an indirect, I guess, insinuation that people would come here who are okay with polygamy and have polygamy. And the way I've heard it phrased is, a man comes here with, like, his loads of wives and all. And, you know, it's, so there might be another conversation to be had about, like, really subtle xenophobia in this debate. But if somebody comes to Ireland in a polygamous marriage, only their first marriage is legally recognized here. They cannot.
Yeah.
And in fact, then they could also be arrested for polygamy. But just in the simplest version of it, they are only recognized as being married to one person. You're not allowed. And so that, to go back to the wording where it said, you know, that the family has rights, blah blah, antecedent and superior to all positive law, my understanding is that means, like, this constitution is the kind of thing you refer back to. It's the big rule, and all the other rules come from it. But positive law says to me that, like, well, positive law, I suppose it'd be the opposite of what's illegal to me. Does that make sense? So that makes sense to me then, that, okay, so this doesn't change the things that are illegal at all. It affects things that...
Don't worry.
Yeah, it affects positive law, but not...
Yeah.
Not...
Yeah.
If
yeah,
something's been not, outlawed, it's not going to un-outlaw it.
It's not opening a back door for all of the thruples and the polygamists, the harems to come through the Irish corridor.
Oh, yeah, and they're not making illegal for a day either.
We can all that. Sorry.
What a time. What a time to be alive.
And then just to touch on, actually, immigration, because I feel like I've seen an argument online that people are going to start coming to Ireland and claiming heritage. Now, I have to say, I don't really understand how this wording particularly makes that more possible to do than it is currently possible to do. But, like, it's currently pretty possible to do. Like, you come to Ireland and you have an Irish granny, you know what I mean? You can play for Ireland in soccer and rugby, as long as you're good.
Yeah, I was about to say, we were hoping that for quite a few.
Yeah, it's like we totally do it when it suits us. We're like, oh, you have an Irish granny and you're good at rugby, get over here.
Mm-hmm. Literally, it's like, oh, you're a movie star, isn't it?
Yeah, but I guess I don't really understand how it would make, you know, this kind of influx of immigration. I don't really see how that, relatively, in my eyes, small change that just says family isn't necessarily founded on marriage, it can be founded on durable relationships too. I don't really see how that could lead to that. Mm-hmm. I think, I know that online, for me, I've received a lot of, I won't even say abuse, but I've received a lot of messages. And a lot of messages, actually, which I think is quite strange, from people who don't follow me, specifically about stuff I've shared with this referendum. And I've actually messaged them back and been like, that's really curious why, like, you don't follow me. So, like, I don't understand even how you saw my story. And so what I kind of have done in some cases, I've provided the research for the things I'm saying or sharing. I've been like, here's where I got this from. Here's where I got this from. Link, whatever. And then I've said, when they've been saying things to me, I've said, okay, can you show me where you got that from? Because obviously, if someone is saying, oh, all carers are going to lose their carers allowance. Like, nobody wants that. So I want to know if that's true. I was like, send that to me and show me where you got that from. And I've noticed that a lot of what I got back, if anything, and in most cases it was nothing, but in some cases I got back screenshots of like this one Instagram account that's posting screenshots of articles that aren't credited to anywhere. And so I then can't verify if that information is legit or not. I mean, it obviously, it says to me that it isn't, but I don't also don't want to make that assumption. And so that's kind of, that's why it's tough. That's why you really have to kind of go looking for stuff. And I totally understand as well that I've referenced things that I've researched here. I've referenced the journal. I've referenced the National Women's Council. There might be people who are like, no, don't like those sources. So therefore everything you've said is irrelevant. And that's, I mean, that, I can't argue with that. You know, that's fair enough. But to call back to what you said earlier, it's a blessing and a curse. There's so much information out there. How do you figure out what is the actual information? It's hard. And especially when it's so boring. Like, this isn't a topic really that is that exciting, as we said. So it's not like you're going to watch a 3-hour YouTube video explaining it or whatever, like, or a doll debate. Nobody's going to watch the doll debates about it. And then how helpful are they? Because they're talking about thruples.
And I think that's, I think from feedback from our listeners, they have found it very difficult to get impartial information. And that's something that I know that, like we said at the top of the episode, but that's something that, like, me and Jen are not saying what way we're voting. You're not saying what way you're voting either. I think that's important for this. You know, you can decide yourself from what we're saying if you want to speculate what we'll vote. But at this point in time, it's not, to me, it's not as clear cut as, say, something that like with the Eighth Amendment, or like, you know, with there's so many other things out there, same-sex marriage, like, you know, it was very important, I think, to share. But I think what we've, and again, the feedback from the listeners have been that they're looking for impartial information. Yeah. So that is just as a, to round this up, that is why we're not actually sitting here and debating the yes versus the no.
Yeah, we're being proper journalists. We're not giving, we're saying, here's the information, you do with it what you will.
Yeah. Some other good impartial information I found. There was an excellent Guardian article that was written last week. I'll get the name of the journalist, and Jen, if you link it in the comments below. District Magazine. I know they shared a nice couple of tiles.
Oh yeah,
it's a short guide. Yeah, a short guide to March 8th referendums. It's quite nice because they go through, you know, what some of the yes and the no people have been saying. So that's another. Again, Jen, we'll link that in below if you just want to click through, and we'll share that on our Instagram page also. And there is, look, there is ways of getting impartial information. You just do have to go and look for it. And I think, as you said, Claire, at the start of this, it's like, it's, I don't want to call it a boring referendum. It's not, but it doesn't have one that have people kind of either charged up either way. And other than throwing in the thruple bomb, there hasn't really been all of that, all of that too much, like, excitement, shall we say. So, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on and actually reading us the facts. I'm delighted that you read out the poll card too, because I think it is important. Like, there always happens when it comes to this. People just slip in their own sentences. I'm like, oh, I don't think it said that. Don't believe that one. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sometimes, as painful as it is, people are just looking for content and something to be angry about.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So there's a bit of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we really appreciate it, Claire, because it's a bit of a minefield. And when the government are pushing for a yes, yes, it does get the jitters up because nobody trusts them at the minute. So
it's good.
Like, the only caller I've had to the door is a yes, yes campaigner. I haven't seen a no, no one yet. And she didn't even, like, she came to the door and she just handed me this leaflet. And she was like, vote yes, yes. And I was like, but what's the practicalities? And then she started talking to Bobby. She was like, I hate you. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, I'm trying to get, hello. Like, I'm here. She's like, vote yes, yes. Okay, bye. I was like, off you go now in your high viz.
Yeah.
I got absolutely nothing out of that, just a leaflet. So it is, like, it's kind of bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, so we really do appreciate it, Claire, and thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully people got a bit out of it, and it was yassified a little bit for you, just so it's, you know, all that legal jargon. I don't understand a word of it. So thanks a million,
thank
Claire.
Thank you.
There you go now. Had Claire on.
There's Claire.
Lovely girl.
Lovely girl.
Love. I've talked to her. I've watched her for fucking years. It's just mad.
Yeah. And look, as I said at the top of the episode, during the interview, like, this isn't the reason why we did this podcast is because we were asked to. Like, it was like, it's not, again, it was something topical coming up, but there was, you know, we try and follow our audience, and our audience asked us to discuss this, so that's what we've done today. And in saying that, I did put up, as Jen discussed at the top of the episode, we did put up the poll, but we have had a couple of people reacting to it, and a lot of people saying, first of all, that they're very worried that there seems to be a lot of misinformation out there. We also were talking a little bit, as I said, we talked a little bit about, what would you say, Tradwife. So this is, it's kind of tough to try and jump between these. I'm a yes / no. The wording of the second gives me the heebie-jeebies. I'm all for the changes, but I'm voting no because the wording is too vague. Like, what is a durable relationship? I'm in a durable relationship with my best friend. We've been through over 20 years of having a relationship, family death, breakup, divorces, etc. Does that make her family in my new, in this new definition? And for the other amendment, I don't like that they've put in the words, shall strive to support in such provision. Like, that's too wishy-washy. We didn't provide you any support, yes, but we did strive to do it.
Yeah, well, as Claire mentioned, kind of, it's not too... It's basically the same language.
Mm-hmm.
Like if Endeavour had been left in there, you'd be thinking that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
I think the fact that it was kind of explained a little bit more, I think that kind of addresses that, if you get me.
Mm-hmm. When I heard a divorce solicitor on Pat Kenny saying when I heard a divorce solicitor on Pat Kenny saying voting no would deeply affect how maintenance payments will be calculated for women in the event of divorce, he explained it very well. So if anybody wants to hear that side of the argument, have a look at Pat Kenny.
Something else to look up, yeah.
And then there's a lot of people just saying, I'm very worried about how confused people are. I'm very worried about the yes voters. I'm very worried about the no voters. There seems to be a lot of the same kind of... I mean, I suppose not the discourse, but it is a very splitting, like, it's very topical, but it's not black and white, this one, boys and girls. That's what I'm trying to say.
Do you know what? If we actually trusted our government, I think this would be a lot more straightforward, but fucking nobody does.
Yeah.
So it's the fact that they're pushing for a yes vote.
I think it's hard, especially concerning. The state of the world, though, at the moment, and as much as, to be honest... And everything comes back to Gaza. But we have seen through the genocide, we have seen how much we have been quote unquote protected, or that we have, you know, countries have tried to protect media and sell us a story. Like, as we know from all of the journalists of Gaza and the amazing work that they have done to try and bring light, and why it is important for us to share, to try and bring light and actual, you know, the reality and the sitting there and the point and the shoot. You cannot deny a live video. You cannot deny what we are being shown by journalists. And I think that, again, that is a separate topic, but this it adds to the general overall kind of feeling of distrust in the media.
Absolutely.
Because, to bring the genocide to the front, we have seen firsthand, we cannot deny what is happening in front of our eyes. You cannot pretend it's X, Y, and Z. We've seen a lot of the arguments from Israel saying, oh, it was actually this situation. They were actually actors. This happened, that happened. All of this insane, crazy stuff when we are like sitting there, phones in our hands, watching this happen. You cannot deny what we are being shown. And that is like, that adds again to this level of distrust that everybody's having, because a lot of the, you know, I'm not saying that this is exactly what happened with plenty of other things in the past, but we were sold mainstream media, and that's what we had to go off. And that's what we, you know, we had the debates on, you know, RTE or whatever, even about like the 1995 divorce referendum. That's kind of what we had to make our decisions off, that and chatting to peers and going through our gut feelings, and really had to kind of collate information. Now we're kind of in a place where, you know, information is being presented to us often, daily. And it's up to you to go through it, rifle through it, and ensure that the information that you're being told aligns with your values.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that adds to the distrust, I suppose, of also, as we talked in detail with Claire, the distrust of this government, the distrust of what's happening with everything in our country at the moment, those kind of things. So yeah, I understand why people are split, but it is important to kind of have the discussion. And again, you have to, like, sorry, not you have to vote. I would really encourage voting, particularly if you're a woman. We weren't always allowed to. And I think what Claire touched on that I think is so important is a lot of people, it'll come back up eventually. We cannot guarantee that. We absolutely can't guarantee that. We actually can't. Yeah. So,
like, and as Claire said, there was a pattern with the ones that we did revisit, and it was got to do with being in the European Union.
Yeah. Which is something that the Greens really wanted. They really wanted us in there.
But it would have definitely affected the whole lot of us, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're listening to this on Sunday, you still have lots of time. Even if it's an hour before you place your vote, you still have a ton of time to, like, get into it and just spend that little bit of time. Me and Jen, as I said, we're covering it because it was requested. There's lots of really good, really important discussions happening. As I said in the interview, we're going to link the Guardian article. We'll link the district. They just kind of put up a couple of tiles that really, again, I know social media is a lot of people's places for finding information. So
yeah,
even if you don't think it's the best place to find it, it's out there.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So there you go. I hope you learned something from the episode. If you're still undecided, obviously there's a few links there for you in the bio or the show notes that you can go and look at. And obviously, like, we're not going to tell you to vote yes, we're not going to tell you to vote no. Like, it's just we are doing what we can to yassify this shit for you.
We're chatting through it, just so hopefully some of you might have learned a bit more, or I don't know.
Yeah, taking exactly
away from this. So
that's it.
We were actually supposed to do, of course, we didn't realize how long this podcast would go on for. So as I said at the top of the episode, we're going to go and discuss trad wives now. Mm-hmm. And the trend of a man is not a plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Currently rife of the on the internet, if you will. So we're going to go and chat through that on our Patreon. For €6 a month, you can get 5 additional episodes. You can get so much good stuff. Me and Jen over there just riffing, just chilling, just doing our thing.
We're just fucking marvellous, aren't
we? Oh, we're just having a ball, aren't we?
We're just fucking marvellous.
Have a gorgeous time.
The link for that will be down below, as usual. There's a few other links as well if you want to go and click on them. A few playlists, shit like that. Hope you enjoyed, and shalook, we'll talk to you next week. Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.